everybody. Welcome to Strength Depositions. I'm your host, Chuck Zarowski. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Jason Fay.
Hey.
And we're sitting here at Iron Bean Coffee in Toledo. Jason and I did a podcast, several months back. And Jason brought some Thor hammers, which were really fucking sweet. And if you guys saw my Instagram post, like, I had a Thor hammer and I wouldn't put the damn thing down. It was so cool. And it's from Iron Bean Coffee. And then he also got me a t-shirt, or he got me like a three-quarter sleeve shirt, and it's got Thor on the back. And he gave that to me. And I was like, oh my God, this is a really cool shirt. And like, everything was really cool. So Jason said he went and he looked at Iron Bean, and he came down to see Fred and Chanel. And he said, man, you got, these people are really cool. He goes, they got some really cool coffee, and they got some awesome mugs. And he goes, maybe you should check out, maybe want to do an interview with them. So I was looking around online, and a couple nights ago, I was at work, and a lot of you guys know I'm a nurse, and we love coffee. And, you know, I'm a night shift nurse, so I drink a lot of coffee. And I was, like, looking at Iron Bean, and I started to look at it, and a bunch of my friends from work were saying, hey, man, this is really cool. These mugs are cool. And, like, boop, these mugs are cool. And people were asking about them. And I was like, man, we really need to do an interview with Iron Bean Coffee. So I contacted Fred and Chanel on Instagram, and I was like, man, we would love to come out. And they were gracious enough to allow us to come out. And so here we are. We're sitting here in Toledo, Ohio. I try to stay away from Ohio because Jason's here. But
poor Jason.
Yeah. It's always about you, Chuck.
We'll get into your issues, too. But we're sitting here at Iron Bean Coffee in Toledo, so we're sitting here with Fred and Chanel, and thanks for having us, guys.
It's a pleasure to have you. Instagram, he battered us about 25 times. No, I'm just kidding. Man, what are we supposed to talk about next? So that was the whole interview. Just kidding. The Jason came by. I remember he took the Thor hammer on a world tour.
Yeah.
And brought it up to Michigan, Plymouth. And I remember when you put the first Instagram post up, I was super excited that that thing was starting to make the rounds. It was pretty wicked.
Time for round two, I think.
Yeah,
I think so, too.
I think we're going to have to upgrade the hammer. You're going to have to take the big one and take it on another trip.
We'll have to get Pitts to make a huge one. And the Warhammer.
Yeah.
The Warhammer.
Yes.
That sounds awesome.
That's badass.
Chanel, thanks for letting us come here, too. We really appreciate
it. Thanks for stopping in.
You guys got a really kind of cool area. And, like, we're in the garage right now, and this place is fucking awesome. I'm going to post some pictures on Instagram. We've got like a whole wall full of cups, some of the stoneware that they have. That's just outrageous, guys. So please check it out.
Skeletons.
And I got a thing with skulls too. So I got a thing with skulls, and my next tat's going to be a skull somewhere. But,
we have a template for you.
Awesome. We'll do it. So Fred, Chanel, tell us how Iron Bean Coffee came about. How did this start? Like, why did you guys do it? How did this start? It's kind of taken a life of its own. So how did this come about?
Go ahead, you start.
All right, I'll start. My story tends to be the three-hour one, so I'm going to let Chanel interrupt me at some
point. I'll kick him when stop him.
Yeah, when you hear the boom, that's Chanel. So Chanel and I have been married 18 years. We've been together just about 19. I think we met 19 years ago next month. Mm-hmm. About 2-3 years into our relationship, we went to this little place called Bagels and Bakes in New York. Mm-hmm. And they had horrible coffee. They had great bacon, egg, and cheese bagels, though. Mm-hmm. And they had an atmosphere that was, bar none, probably one of the coolest and most comforting atmospheres that you could imagine. There was a mom behind the counter.
It was like family
business.
Okay. Yeah, mom behind the counter. I think the daughter was working there, mm-hmm. daughter's boyfriend, maybe 12, 14 patrons in the place. And as soon as you walked in, you were met with eye contact, smiles, and some conversation. Don't remember what it was that we talked about, but it felt like Cheers, but you didn't have to be a regular to be in there.
And this was how long ago?
This was, it's got to be 16 years ago now. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, about
was
3 years
lived
in.
Lived on Jerry Ave, so.
Yeah.
So about 16 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, in Rotterdam, New York, upstate New York. Mm-hmm. So we.
So we loved it. It was important to us because we're, I don't know how to explain it. Our families are far, kind of, I guess, and not everybody was real close, and I mean, we've worked on that now, but so that was important to us when we walked in, is feeling like you're family when you walk in, and that's when we said, you know what, we have to have a place like this someday so we can have that, create a family. And, you know, and you don't have to be blood to be family.
Right.
So we wanted to kind of, and we just talked about it, how the world slowly is going away from communication and, you know, sitting down and looking at each other and talking about things. And so we wanted to kind of bring that. That was the whole thing, was kind of get that together.
We had this vision to open a coffee shop. And it wasn't going to be, back then the internet and stuff was in its infancy, but coffee shops had a real similar atmosphere where there was kind of a regular gang, I guess it'd be in there, and you might walk in and you're not always met with eye contact or anything. It was almost like, I'm not really sure if I even belong in this coffee shop type of thing. We wanted to have a coffee shop that was not like that. We wanted it to be an experience more than just there to get your coffee. We certainly wanted people to hang out and things of that nature. But part of the rules that we had planned on posting were you had to smile when somebody walked in. No mean mugging. You'll be escorted out the door if you start mean mugging people that come in.
Take your coffee and get out of here.
We would have customers wait on other customers just by, you know, just, yo, Bobby, get up here and pull this espresso. So, and we wanted it to be that kind of engaging thing. Okay. Over the course of years, we had this unlimited budget in our mind, you know, so the coffee shop in our mind was amazing, you know, like CSI Miami glass walls and all kinds of cool stuff.
Waterfall going on. Inside.
Oh, yeah. Water features everywhere. Open fireplace. Yeah, it was going to be wicked. The cool part about what we wanted to do is we wanted to have a coffee roaster like we have here, which we didn't have, but then we didn't realize how much that thing cost. But we have one here now. So we wanted that to be open, almost like an open kitchen or like an open pizzeria where you watched your food or your coffee being produced. And then beyond that, there was supposed to be this immaculate barn door system, you know, when you'd roll back and there was the strongman gym. So there was supposed to be a gym in there.
So you guys wanted
that kettlebell came from.
That's where the original logo right comes there. From.
So you guys wanted to have a coffee shop with like a strongman facility in there too?
Yes. Yes.
Members only.
Jason, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of hard right now.
Here, you sit on the
It's still side. Coming. It's still going to happen.
I'm no longer flashing today.
That's partly the gym.
I've solved my problem.
Partly what's in the coffee. It's a supplement, not just a, you know, your morning ritual. So yeah, the gym was supposed to be invite only. You couldn't just join the gym or just pay your membership fee and show up, you know, with 10,000 members that didn't come in.
Yeah.
You know, the gym experience was supposed to be just the same as the coffee experience. You had to want to be there.
Because we wanted, I guess, that attitude of like putting your weights back, helping one another. Yeah. You see someone struggling, you don't mind going over and helping them, you know, spot them and stuff like that. So we figured if we did it that way, it would work out that way.
Yeah, people know, that wanted to train. Yeah. Encourage grunting.
Right.
Yeah. Encourage chalk. Yeah. There had to be chalk clouds.
What?
Please, if chalk wasn't flying through the air in the gym portion, of course, not in the coffee shop section, so we'd work out some system. But
it's like you drink in the coffee and then you get the chalk in there and then the calcium levels go up.
If there were no loud noises coming, you know, we would go and check and say, are you guys working hard enough in here, you know, if nothing's fall down or you haven't thrown any dumbbells on the floor yet, you know, we wanted to beat up the equipment. And we were hoping that the coffee shop would kind of support the gym because it wasn't going to make any money. So yeah, that was the evolution of what this coffee shop vision was supposed to be like. People that want to be engaged, and we would encourage engagement to every new face that would come in.
Okay.
And then
he got a job at the railroad.
And that all stopped.
And that all stopped. I'm gonna apply for a position, he said, and I had two of my own children, so when he met, I had two kids. He became a dad right away.
Right.
So he said, I'm gonna apply for this position, but we may have to move. And I said, well, where? And he's like, well, I'm not sure. It won't be too far. And I said, okay. So then he goes, I'm not going to get it though. I said, well, I don't know if I want to move the kids out of school. And I was worried about their, you know, what would happen, you know, their life and stuff. So, and even family and friends. So he's like, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. And like, I think a week later he comes.
That was my way of trying to ease into it, you know.
He's like, hey, babe, sit down. I'm like, what? He's like, you know that job I told you I wasn't going to get? He's like, I got it. I'm like, cool, congratulations. Because I always encouraged him. You can do better. I know you can. And so I was real proud of him. And then I was like,
her lips were saying congratulations and her eyes were saying, oh, shit.
I said, where do we got to move? And I think it was
Buffalo
was first.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, Buffalo? Well, where's Buffalo? You know, like, so he's like, when the kids go to their dad's, we'll go and take a weekend and we'll drive around. And so we went to Buffalo. I cried.
This is New York, right?
Yes.
I cried the whole time. It was horrible. I don't know what part it was, but
it wasn't exactly a good month from a weather standpoint. So this is definitely not a knock on Buffalo. June and July are beautiful in Buffalo. It snows the rest of the year.
All the trees look like the Land Before Time. They're all chewed up. It was horrible.
It was the fall, so there was no leaves on anything, and you could see that the city gets battered every year. Yeah, nothing was straight. Everything was, like, broken.
Yeah, it was sad looking.
It was 2009. You know, the economy had taken a dump, and, you know, a lot of Buffalo had been boarded up.
Right.
You know, some of the, so we weren't really sure what we were getting into.
Did you guys ever hear the story real quick about Buddy Morris? Buddy Morris went to Buffalo, and he's a strength coach for, where is he a strength coach for now? Arizona. And Buddy Morris was in Arizona. And so I went to the sports specific seminar, and Buddy Morris is like, hey, anybody from Buffalo? And a couple people raise their hands. He's like, fuck you and fuck Buffalo. He goes, the only good thing that came out of Buffalo is my wife, and I'm not even sure of that. So he got fired from Buffalo, and he fucking hates Buffalo, but go on, I'm sorry.
Horrible. No, good segue. No. It's pretty much that's what Buffalo is. Buffalo, great little town though. They had that's where we first found Timmy Hortons.
Okay.
This is not a Timmy Hortons plug. That was good road coffee at the time. Still good road coffee, you know, if you can't take it with you. But yeah, found Timmy Hortons. Found original Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, the wings were exquisite. Pizza was on point.
Is B-Dubs from Buffalo?
I don't have any idea.
Okay,
but they did.
But he brought
right.
me to all the food places. Thought that would we'll stop here and eat.
Like, yeah. Okay. I'd go work 5 or 10 days in a row, and then I'd hop on an Amtrak train, and we'd go back to Albany. We're from upstate New York in the Albany area, so I'd sneak up on her and come home, and I'd always try to surprise her with food from Buffalo. The food was good.
So you guys are from Albany, New York? That's where you're both from?
Yeah, okay. Born and raised. You know, you both of us probably 20 minutes right outside of Albany. Schnell's from Schenectady, New York, and I'm from a little one. Don't be embarrassed, honey. It's all right. I'm from a little one-horse town called Fear of Bush.
And Fear of Bush?
Yeah, Fear of Bush, New York. There's a lot of Fear of Bush jokes, you know.
That sounds like a porno.
It was a lot like a porno, you know. A fetish porno. Yeah, it wasn't real mainstream. right. Yeah, I think everybody in town had gap teeth. No. All right, we probably went too deep there. So, sorry, Mom. Where is that?
How you feeling, Jay? Good?
I just feel like there's a lot of that's what she said.
It was an interesting little town. Yeah. Mm. Schenectady gets skankectady. You know, there's a whole reputation around that. Yeah, Schenectady. Yeah. Upstate New York is just
I get it. I
where
get
you
it. I see
be.
What you're doing there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I guess, all right, we tangented it off there. So,
we went back home. I looked at the kids, and I'm like, I kept saying, I didn't want to encourage him not to do something good with his life. And so I was like, well, let's talk to the kids. And we did, and we were just pretty much, the kids were just really, they were little too, and they were just like, okay. I was like, are you sure? And, you know, I said, I'll bring you home to visit and drive back and forth. And then he got a call, and guess what? We're not going to Buffalo. I'm like, yes.
Plans changed.
Yeah.
Where was it? Toledo.
Toledo.
Here.
Nice.
So we've been here twice.
Yeah.
Well, this is our second time.
This is our second time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then we came here. So we told the kids, well, we're not going to Buffalo. We're going farther. And they cried. They cried because they were going to, but then they, I don't know, we've been really lucky. They kind of were like, okay.
How old were the kids at the time?
Sammy was in 10th grade.
Yeah.
And Brandon was in 6th or 7th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So whatever age that equals, I don't even remember anymore. All right. 16. It was it was not a good time in a not child's social life to just start going across the country. Not for
Samantha, because she just got into high school. Or middle school. She was at the end of middle school.
Yeah, just going into high school. So she was going in 9th grade.
Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago. Yeah.
So we came to Toledo. I was pretty convinced the kids had hated me at that point, because we took them from our friends. And then about 3 months later, it turned out to be real good. They started to realize that, you know, the world is a whole lot bigger than Schenectady, New York.
Yeah.
And that,
they
you know,
friends, different places.
Yeah, there was a lot of things to see. So I guess we'll fast forward through most of that. We moved 7 times since then, over the course
of the
7 years working
every
for the railroad.
We got promoted.
And then we finally came back to Toledo. We actually made it back to New York.
We went
and
back,
to
Toledo. Yeah, we went back to New York. That was the move before here.
Yeah.
Thinking, all right, kids are back with their old friends and around family. And then we said, and then a year later of being there, he's like, let's go. But I think I was ready to leave. So I home wasn't home to me anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
Toledo was, as a matter of fact. Yeah. When we lived, we moved from we went from Toledo to Detroit, mm-hmm. to Plymouth, Michigan, and then to Illinois, then Indiana.
Plymouth, Michigan, Plymouth, home of the world famous Strength Depot.
He has a throw
there you go, Shane.
Michigan plug.
Plymouth was my favorite place to work. It really was the nicest place that I worked. Mm-hmm. So we went to Plymouth, and then we would drive back from Indiana. And we would come right through Toledo every time. We were always going back home to New York.
Indiana, home of Strength Haven Gym. There you go, Dan Gibson.
Every time. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a gym now. LA Fitness in Toledo. Oh, everybody just turned the podcast off. Sorry about that, guys. Come back. So there's... anyway, when we would come back through Toledo, that felt like home to us. Toledo was probably the most favorite place that we had lived, and we really developed a lot of relationships when we were here the first time. So we got back to New York. We were kind of reminded of all the things that we had learned our life's lessons from. Mm-hmm. So New York wasn't necessarily the best place for us to live at the time. We were starting to realize that there were things that we had the opportunity to leave behind. Some things were not going well there. So this last move to Toledo came at a very good time in our lives, although it didn't feel good at the time. Mm-hmm. And then we landed back here, and the job that I had held started to become a little more consistent. So we weren't moving every 6 months or every 8 months. And that's when we decided we have to stop talking about this dream of ours. And we had talked about it all the time. And then we said we have to start doing something.
Yeah, we were just tired by then of moving.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, this is it. We're back where we've liked it here. So I'm like, that's it. Even though our daughter stayed back home.
Yeah, we left our daughter back in New York. She fell in love.
Yeah.
She fell in love. She married now.
Came,
it worked out okay.
Great.
Yeah.
So... How did you start doing this? Like, how did you start with the beanery and like the coffee and all that stuff? Because you had this idea of like this immaculate coffee shop, and then you had the waterfall in there and the fountain and the pool inside where you drink coffee by the pool. But you had this idea of all this stuff. So you realized you were working on the railroad. How did the whole coffee thing come about? I know, like, you guys wanted to always do this. What was the catalyst where you were like, fuck it, I'm doing it?
There's a catalyst. There is a moment. So the moment was the job that I had announced that they were going to lay off 1,200 people.
Okay.
So that wasn't the pure motivation, but I guess that was the straw that kind of broke the camel's back. That's where we made the decision. Like, you can't count on anything to be permanent. So we said, well, you know what? If employment ends tomorrow, what are we going to do? And we always come back to this dream that we're doing. So with CSX announcing this layoff of 1,200 people, I didn't know if I would be in the mix or I wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. So and even if we weren't, we said, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going
to
start
this
thing.
He was getting a bonus too, so we had to make a decision. What are we going to do with this? Possibly maybe our last bonus.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that was one of the big things, is actually taking that money and we can do this like we've always done.
Yeah.
Or we can just take it all and invest it all in something like quick.
Right.
And sell whatever we have.
We sold lots of stuff. We applied for like 10 credit cards, kind of kind of mastered the credit card application system. So we opened up 10 applications on the computer all at the same time and filled out all the information and then went, apply, 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 apply. And we got like the first five. And then I think they figured out what we were doing real quick and we got to that. So, and we didn't have a whole lot of money. I think, I don't know, maybe 25,000 bucks altogether. We sold old classic pickup. We had this open line of credit cards and this check from CSX. And we thought that was going to be really enough. And then, so then we did the paperwork part. And, you know, that was like $1,000 to create this name. And then we went to go look for a building. And then, and then
our daughter called and said she's getting married.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At the same time. Hey, no. I'm getting married in October.
Or our son-in-law told us at the time.
So we were like,
propose to your daughter.
Yeah, you sure you want to do that this year? we're just trying to.
I want
to
wait a year.
Yeah, we're just trying to start this thing. So she got the truck money.
Yeah.
So yeah, that got wiped out. But yeah, we went looking for a building and found an old real estate listing for $89,000 for an old in the old warehouse district of Toledo. And I'm thinking that, you know, we could get a 30-year mortgage on that and we would sell the house and we would just go live in the top of this building and we're going to be fine. This is going to work. This is going to work. And then we called the guy selling the business or selling the building. Realized it was empty. It was just a brick shell of space, and that it came with the two lots on either side. But it wasn't $89,000 anymore. Now it's $525,000. And then that's when we learned that a business loan is, you know, 5 years with a balloon payment on the end. So we're like, we got to think of something different. Okay. We didn't. There was no way we could come up with that. So we started to We then transitioned to a coffee truck,
okay,
or a we wanted to make it fancy concession trailer concession or a truck,
like a ice cream truck, or like they sell the hot dogs outside the club, that type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like we have some black places that sell the hot dogs outside and stuff like that. Okay,
we wanted it to be the fanciest coffee truck you ever seen, though, like so legit, we started looking up coffee not trucks. The Roach Coach,
right?
Not like, oh, here comes Fred and Chanel with that trash coffee again. Yeah, playing music for the town. We were thinking, you know, classy, fancy. Well, that's expensive too.
Yeah.
So then we're like, shit, we make good coffee. We need to get it out there. We need to at least show people that we have a product that's worth buying. So we started a website, and this was really with not a whole lot of confidence, but we were already.
What year is this now? Where are we at
this
now?
This is December 2016 is when we started on paper. February was by the time we realized that March was when we turned it on.
Yeah.
But February is when we decided we're at least going to create a Facebook page and we're going to create a website and we're going to offer our wares for sale. Mm-hmm. So the first.
Yeah, he created a website.
Yeah, go ahead. You tell this story.
I left for New York and he said, when you get back, I'm going to have a roasting room in here and I'm going to have it all painted and everything's going to be, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be clean and I'll have it all done by the time you get back.
When a husband says that, you're always worried.
I know. So I called him like a day after he starts, babe, I can't talk right now. I'm like, what do you mean? What are you doing? I said, I'll just wait till I get home. Because I had to help Sammy with wedding stuff. I said, just wait till I get home.
It was Sammy's birthday. She went to New York to visit for the week. I was home for the week.
And
turning the garage into a roasting room.
So I called him again because I didn't hear from him for like 6 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you all right? He's like, babe, I can't talk to you. And I hear, shh, 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 shh. What the hell are you doing? He's like, I'm stirring coffee right now. I had to go buy a cast iron pan. He's going, it's like, I had to go get a few spoons. And all you hear is the beans stir. I'm like, don't burn down the house. Whatever you do. He's like, babe, I gotta go.
I go,
the house is burning, gotta go.
He goes, we have orders. I said, that's what you get for doing this without me. So see you next week.
I have a very impulsive nature. And when I think something's a great idea, I'm just going to do it now. Yeah, let's just do this thing. Yeah. So yeah, she called, and I don't even remember what she said. But all I remember saying is, I got to go. We got a business to run. And we had like 3 orders. But I was stressed out. We're making this coffee. So the shoo. We made coffee prior to this in a cast iron skillet inside a gas grill. Mm-hmm. And that's how we started roasting coffee. So all of the first month, it had to be the first 3 months, every single batch of coffee that we made, and there wasn't a lot. I mean, the sales were stressful, but, you know, 10 orders over the course of a week and a half, that was like a lot. Yeah. Because we had a lot to do.
Because he got nothing done. So everything was
right. So now that project that I was doing never happened.
Threw Fred under the bus.
Yeah. I often say
it was
with
like
Chanel,
2x4s hanging off the wall. Oh, yeah.
It didn't look like this. So we're doing everything at the same time. Yeah, it was bad.
I came home that night and I ended up finishing painting the floor and stuff. And
it was bad.
It was crazy.
So we're stirring coffee in a big. I mean this. This contraption was pretty serious business. It was fancy. You know, all stainless steel gas grill converted to fit this nice cast iron pot in there. It was great. Every 27 minutes, we could make a pound of coffee. You know? I mean, you can grow on that, which I realized you couldn't grow on that. So, yeah, 10 orders, that 10 pounds of coffee, I mean, we're looking at, you know, I don't know, 6-7 hours of labor. And you couldn't stop turning the coffee. I mean, it was 27 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that turned into forearm wrist strength training, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, I was heavy in arm wrestle at the time.
Not my typical one, actually.
No. So I got a really long whisk from the store so I could get good leverage on it. And I'd hold at the end and I'd hold my arm in real tight and I would just turn and turn and turn just using my wrist and forearm. And then I'd have to switch with the lactic acid would build up.
You know you're a meathead when.
Yeah, everything you do turns into some functional movement for a sport. So yeah, and I got pretty good at arm wrestling at the time. This was working. So, but it wasn't working. So, we'll get to that part. We still make coffee that way. One particular line that we have cast iron is the one that we still make in the cast iron skillet. So that's we don't want to get away from actually hand roasting coffee.
Yeah.
So then I'm losing track of the story. There are
then
so many details
in here. Then he went to work a week later after his vacation was over, and every day he came home, I was like, he's like, babe, I'm stirring away. I'm like ready to. I can't throw anything at him because
right. Chanel's mean mugging Fred the whole time.
It was bad. It was bad.
I'm fucking killing you.
It would be smoking.
Marriage is awesome. Yeah.
It was bad. Because I'd walk in acting like the supervisor, you know?
Yeah. What'd you do today, honey?
Mr. Supervisor walks in with this roaster. It was about this big. It looks like a toaster.
Toaster.
And he sits it next to me and he gets it all ready and he puts the beans in and he's sitting there going like this while the thing's spinning, poking. I'm over there stirring. I'm like, you might want to come over here and take your stir turn. So
Fred's like, what are you doing today? Not me, honey.
I had to pay close attention. It was the Bmore 1600. Yeah. I mean, this is the roaster of roasters for the tabletop. Hey. But you had to pay close attention to this.
Yeah.
So we're going to double our capacity now. And but she was left doing the labor one. She was good at it. You know, she made good cast iron. It was good.
Well, we did
she
a lot did.
We had the timer
way.
On there. I'd always check. I'm like, babe, you got through second crack, right?
Yeah, you come up with a little heat thermometer, this thing right there that's behind you, and he would check the temp. He's like, you gotta turn that down. I'm like, I've been doing this all day long. You go away with your thermometer.
Yeah, I'm just gonna walk in and start telling her how to do it. Right. It was bad.
Bad move, Fred.
It was fun.
I'll tell you what, if you ever really want to test your relationship and know that you have a solid marriage, you should work side by side every single day. And so far it's working. But yeah, there has been moments I didn't think I was gonna live to see the next morning.
That's true.
Sorry,
that's
baby.
True. I'm even having them go get checked for ADHD. I'm like, you got to go to the doctors. Now that I've been with you for like 2 months, he was out of work. I'm like, Bring like a check.
Right. So lo and behold, I didn't get laid off. Mm-hmm. I wasn't part of the original layoff plan. Yeah. So we were making it work. Where I still worked. It was a pretty hellacious schedule. Mm-hmm. It was on call 24 hours a day, and I would work about 60 hours a week, and then come home and do this. So didn't get laid off, but that was a good thing because, you know, we want to make this full-time somewhere where we can give this all of our attention. But it's got to be subsidized. You just can't – we can't pay the bills on mm-hmm. 10 pounds a week. So – and that wasn't the reason that we started this thing. We started this thing based on all that stuff we talked about earlier. So it really wasn't profit-driven. Mm-hmm. And based on that, we weren't making – business decisions to be profitable. So we probably didn't make the best business decisions anyway.
No, it's like fun.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we do things that are prudent mm-hmm. and equal great profit. And our model is certainly not something that everyone should go try because it requires a lot of, requires us to go to work full time. So that said, we made it through, I would say, maybe a 4 or 5 months period, and things really started to pick up. We should probably tell the mug story, huh?
Go ahead.
So we'll get there. So things, we'll backtrack a little bit, and I don't want to get too far off topic.
Well, but maybe he has that next question.
Yeah, you may be lining up. So anyway, we ended up. Yeah. Go ahead. What do you want to know about next? I do have ADHD. If you can't tell. Yeah, if you can't tell. We're all over the place. And I don't want to backtrack for anybody that's listening. My storytelling gets really
He's crossing
confusing.
Off all his questions like, shoot, we just answered that.
Sorry, boss. So, she just gave me the look. Where do we go from there? So, we had to buy a roaster.
Okay.
All right. So, now it's getting so busy that we can't go to work full time. And maintain stirring in this pot till the wee hours of the mm-hmm. night and then not making it till the next morning. The more I talk about this, the more I realize where we are now. So some of my pauses are because it's not much has changed, even though everything has changed. So we bought a roaster. We bought this mm-hmm. little blue. We called it Big Blue at the time. Yeah, right. I mean, that roaster was a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was really expensive. And in I thought it was huge until we went to go learn to roast. So we went to a place called Mill City Roasters in Minnesota, St. Paul. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized that the roaster that we selected really wasn't that big, but it was a big improvement for us.
Sure.
So we went there, we paid for classes to learn how to transition from roasting in a cast iron skillet into a drum roaster. There was some differences, but then we figured out that the principles are really the same. We're just looking at different things. Mm-hmm. So we came back. We had to wait for the roaster because they're custom made. We didn't just take it home that day. So we're stirring probably for another 6 weeks or so. Yeah. Then the roaster comes. And then we tripled our output. Now we could do 9 pounds in an hour. Nice. This was a big, big deal. And I mean, it was, at the time, it was huge.
Yeah.
So while we're doing that, we'll talk about kind of the turning point of where things went from pretty slow, although it felt busy, to when they started to really grow. So we're familiar with these mugs. Sorry. we're familiar with these mugs. And the mugs that we sell are certainly not individual to us. They're made popular by national parks. There's a lot of companies that make these mugs. And the cool part about them is that they're handcrafted. So they're made on a pottery wheel. They're not cast. They're not mass-produced. By the time the mug order is put in and you have this art and this design that you put on there, and then you get the mug back, the over 24 hands have touched this thing to make this mug what it is. So we wanted to make sure that anything that we sold had the same quality and care as the coffee that we sold. So we started to make these mugs. We put them on the internet. I think we had 48 of one particular style.
That one we put on.
Yeah, we're holding one of them. We're holding one of them now, and Chuck might put a picture of it. We'll hope it's. There's a lot of story in this mug because mm-hmm. it was really the turning point for us to finally get seen by some people out there.
Is it this particular mug that I'm looking at right
it's
now?
It's this mug. Okay. This mug. So this mug, we took a picture of it. We put them online. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what we charged for them. Probably $25, and then they sat there for a while. We sold some to our parents. We sold some to our friends. I mean, you know, we had our customers at this point were really the people that we worked with, some people in town and our family.
Yeah.
And the biker group that we rode with at the time. Those were our customers. So then all of a sudden we get this Facebook message and a sale. And it was one of the mugs from a name that we didn't recognize. Because one of the cool parts after we started the website, we would see the order come in, and we had a little app on our phone that would tell us, hey, you got an order, and you click it, and you see it. And it was somebody that we knew, Facebook friend or something like that, which we really appreciate. I don't want to make that sound like it wasn't worthwhile, because it was really what we needed. But it was a really big deal when the first name came through that we didn't recognize. The first name that came through was Ronnie Bossy. He is a power lifter, strongman guy from Maine, and he roasts coffee. He roasts coffee over an open fire, which is really cool. We got a very unique experience there. But I remember Ronnie was the first one, and I was like, Ronnie Bossy, man, that sounds familiar. And I knew him through Facebook, but I didn't actually know him. We were friends of friends of friends. And then I called him, and we talked about coffee for like 2 hours. So anyway, Ronnie Bossy buys our coffee, first customer that we ever noticed. And then someone named Danielle Christine White. Mm-hmm. I always use her middle name because that's how it is on Facebook. So Danielle White.
She's always in trouble, so we call her by her first
name. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She deserves to have all three names put out there. So Danielle White, she bought this mug, and she sent us a Facebook message. And I know I don't have it right, but the message went something like this. Hey, been checking you guys out. Looks really cool. Just bought one of your mugs, and I just wanted to let you know I'm going to show it to some of my friends. So expect some sales. So about 12 hours later, we sold out. So we probably had 40 mugs up there, and then Danielle shared it with the community of mug lovers that she has out there on Facebook and Duke's Mug Life. Mm-hmm. And but all of her friends bought all the mugs, and we were ecstatic.
And that, how many was that?
It was, I think, 40. Okay. So 40 in a 12-hour period, wow, which was huge.
Right.
I mean, huge. It was a catalyst. And with that came people that tried the coffee along with the mug in the sale.
Yeah.
And then the coffee started to grow, and people liked the coffee. Now, I didn't have any question they weren't going to like it. I try not to sound cocky about the coffee, but it's the only thing that I have confident that we're doing right. All the rest of it, I really don't know if we've hit the nail on any. I don't even know if we have a nail. But the coffee is the only thing we do good. So that was really where some people outside of our own social circle and our family and our friends started to realize that, hey, this is pretty good. I'm going to share it with somebody. And it really started to grow from there.
Kevin was the first one to buy coffee, right?
Kevin Walentowski, very well made a bet.
Yeah, he was the first one.
Yeah, there's a whole story with Kevin. We met him on Craigslist. He thought we were swingers a long time ago. Good time for a commercial break. We'll come back and talk about the evolution of Craigslist here shortly.
You might as well tell them now. When we first moved to Ohio, it was super lonely here. And back then, Craigslist was not crazy. You can meet friends. You can, you know, and stuff like that. So I got on. I was depressed. I was sad here. You know, kids were at school. And I'm like, we had no – nothing against Toledo, but it seems hard to – make friends with people here. They're kind of standoffish when you're not from here. And that's how we were kind of...
Yeah, we were living in a low-rent apartment in a high-rent town. Mm-hmm. I was not making nearly the money I thought we were going to make. So part of my selling point was, babe, you'll never have to work again. I'm going to make so much money. It didn't really turn out that way, but now I was kind of committed to the thing. So Chanel's home. I'm working nights at the time. So I'd leave the house at 5 o'clock in the evening and I'd get home about 8 o'clock the next morning. So it really was a lonely
existence. Was looking for a friend. So I put out Craigslist and Kevin said, he's like, I know this is weird. He goes, but I got to talk to my wife about this. And then, you know, we're not thinking anything. I'm like, that's cool. Then we made an appointment to go have dinner or something with him and his wife.
An appointment.
And then they were like, well, you know.
Like it's an escort service.
I got an appointment at this hotel room. Come on out.
Great choice of words. Yeah. Do you have anything available between 5 and 7 on Thursday night?
I made arrangements.
Oh, you guys would be. So, anyway, we made a
first
date.
Appointment we weren't late for either. Ooh, this is going to be fun. Sorry.
Everybody came early.
I guess we're done.
So I got to meet his wife at the time. You guys are horrible. And then they asked us that night. They were like, by any chance, are you guys like, you know, we don't want you to take this the wrong way or anything. And that's when they asked us. I was like, no, I was just lonely. I was looking for friends.
The post was really made sarcastically. I'm like, nobody's going to answer this post. I'm, I'm going to show my husband how lonely I am and how much he's ruined my life for taking this stupid job. And then, but then we got an answer. And then I'm like, well, you know what? We don't have any damn friends out here. So. Yeah, let's go. And yeah, about 40 minutes into dinner, they go, so are you guys like swingers or something? And we're not, unfortunately. No one came early.
I remember saying, I'm like, and if that's what you guys did, we're not against that, but we're not. We're just looking for friends. And they were like, no, we thought you guys were. Like, well, no, we're not. So that's how it kind of went. And we've been like good friends,
yeah.
You know, so... Like all these years, Kevin keeps contact. I mean, he's no longer married, but he's.
Yeah.
that's his story. Poor Kevin.
Maybe an appointment didn't work out.
I'm not sure. He's a great friend, and he's stuck with us. Like, we got Christmas cards every year.
Yeah.
And just always reaching out to us, seeing how we're doing.
So it seems to me that, like, word of mouth, like, you get, like, where you guys start brewing for family and that type of stuff. And then one thing leads to another. And then word of mouth is like, these guys are really great people. They have got great coffee. We love their mugs. And then this thing just started blowing up for you guys. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds that easy. And essentially, from the outside looking in, that's really how it has evolved.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, there's inner workings.
Yeah.
Jason, I got a question for you, because you're just over there.
He's
just
falling asleep over there.
He's just looking at me. He's
giving me the look.
He's eyeballing me. Looking at me lovingly. My question is like, how did you get to the where? Like, because when I met you, you were like, man, I got this really cool shit. Like, check this hammer out. He let me borrow it. Like, how did you learn about Iron Bean? What was your initial, like, what was the initial time that you learned about it? Was it a swingers?
As a matter of fact, I was just an appointment. Searching on Craigslist. And there they were. And I was like, fuck it. Why not? No, Iron Bean, Janelle and I were together. And she was coming out, and she stopped there. Mm-hmm. So she had brought the coffee, tried them out. And we had just always talked about coming out and visiting you guys. So that's how we made a trip back up here before. Actually, we saw you guys up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's where we met them. He let me borrow the fucking badass hammer.
He looked way cooler holding it than I ever did. So I'm like, dude, you got to take that thing with you.
I was like, I can't take it because I'm going to want to keep it.
Right.
I was like, but I'll borrow it and bring it back. I eventually brought it back. So, that's how I met them. So,
okay,
it's like I said, ever since I saw the hammer and ever since like I saw the mugs and whatnot, like it's crazy, like just how beautiful the mugs are. And this is the first time I've had a chance to taste the coffee. And like, I'm a nurse, so like I said, we all drink coffee and whatnot, but I'm running on 2 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. So when I got here, I was pretty much two sheets in the wind and I just was tired. And I actually I know that's not the high caffeinated coffee,
yeah,
but I felt the jolt from that. Like, I mean, I truly did. And, you know, as a lifter, a lot of times, like, I don't really like doing pre-workouts. Because I don't like the racing heart a lot of times. Like, and they'll put the
niacin in there.
Yeah, they'll put the niacin, but they put a whole bunch of other shit.
All the stimulants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Too much.
And I mean, I have high blood pressure too, so I don't want to take that shit. So a lot of times I'll just drink a coffee before I work out and drink some water, drink a coffee. And that's a lot of times my pre-workout. And honest to God, as a pre-workout, that whatever you just gave me, what coffee was that?
That was Loki. Okay. Ethiopian Yirgacheffe.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
Oh, it's high class.
But it's amazing coffee, and on top of that, like, I got it such a, like, I'm awake now. And
that reminds me, I have Ride or Die being made for you guys, too.
Oh, man.
So we have to, I got it. Can I go in there and?
Yeah, please, okay. If you wouldn't mind. That'd be awesome.
You knew she was going to be
there. I knew it.
Right,
you called it.
That's mine.
That's yours. Where's yours?
This one's mine.
Do you want some of that?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay, I just got to remember.
Chanel.
Remember Fred drank out of
you're on my
chunks. It doesn't matter.
I did.
But
on tape.
But, like, to be honest, like.
No,
AIDS free.
Just got checked.
I'm not sure what else is in there, but yeah.
That's all right. We got antibiotics. We're good. But my point is, though, is like, I'd like to have like something like this to work out with. And I'm sure like a lot of listeners would like to have something as a pre-workout. Because again, some of those stems are, you don't know what the fuck they're putting in them. And this is great coffee. I mean, if you guys want to try a stem before you work out, try this stuff. I mean, it's great. And then you've got a coffee that's got what, 600 milligrams? Of,
between 500 and 600 milligrams of for caffeine, a 10-ounce right? serving of caffeine.
I mean, holy fuck, a normal Starbucks has like 100 to 140 milligrams. Yeah. So you're talking six times that or five times that.
Hey, beat that, Death Wish.
Yeah. Yeah. Suck it, Death Wish.
So last year.
Okay, but, yours.
Thank you very
much. Do you want some?
Iron Bean's so hot right, now.
That's Jace.
Yeah.
Do you want some?
Literally so hot.
So thank hot you. Right now.
So
we had, not to get away from the whole Iron Bean story, but coffee as a stimulant has been a huge deal for me. I didn't drink coffee very much until Chanel and I had gotten married, and then I fell in love with the coffee, the bean, the craft, all this nonsense. So it kept me awake working on the railroad. But I didn't really notice most of its effects until I started CrossFit, which is that dirty word.
We gotta go.
Yeah, we're gonna edit this out.
All right, sorry guys. So somewhere around
CrossFit's a class. I should just stop there. Go ahead. I'm just kidding.
So somewhere we'll tell how the whole fitness piece and the gym part, I guess, fits in where that comes from. So started this training program that was labeled CrossFit. At the time, I was in pretty bad physical shape, and I had boobs. Okay,
you look great.
Yeah, I was a fat kid with tits.
Hot.
So
hot. Jesus Christ! Not. And welcome to Craigslist.
Yeah. All right.
Oh no,
honey, you can go take the post down. It looks like we got a couple.
I'm down.
Duh.
So I started this training program. So I thought trying to look for health when I was a kid, I wanted to be a bodybuilder. I wanted to wear a tank top and have big biceps and big chest. And I tried to do that for years, and that didn't work. And then went in the Marine Corps, hurt my back there, got out early, met Chanel, had an instant family that I appreciate and love dearly, not just because she's here. But life just didn't take a turn for probably the better health-wise. It was a fantastic life otherwise. So now we're working these grinds. Chanel had three jobs at the time. I had whatever job we could come up with, and working on the railroad was around the clock. You're gone. You were probably home for 10 hours a week. So it didn't really lead up to much health. Say all that to say this. So somewhere around 36 years old, about 6 years, it's February 12th, 2012. I'll still remember the day because it was the day that I made a choice to want to live and not just exist, I guess.
Yeah.
So found CrossFit, went home, I Googled functional exercise, and this is how I found it. And I didn't know that those terms existed for any other reason, but I said to myself, I don't want to be a bodybuilder. I don't want to be a powerlifter, because at the time, powerlifting to me was the excuse that bodybuilders would give when they were eating like crap and not maintaining discipline.
Sometimes it's true.
I'm bulking up, and I'm a powerlifter now, so that's why I'm eating this cheesecake. You know. And then on Saturday, they're like, oh, I'm a bodybuilder now again because I'm dieting. So that was like, you know, and I didn't want to be either one of those things because to me they were both hard. So I still had some laziness in my mind, I guess. So I look up functional exercise, find the CrossFit website, and we bought a bunch of stuff to do CrossFit. And that started an exercise program for us.
Now, you wanted to be a bodybuilder before when you were younger, right?
Yeah, from 18 to 22.
Chanel, did you train before? You trained before too, right?
Not until I met him.
Okay.
When I was like always like 90 pounds and then I got Graves and Hashimoto's, so I had radiation done.
Okay.
So once I did that, I was like,
they
and then I wasn't used to gaining that, like ever being, you know, more than 90 pounds. So, and that was even after the two kids. So when that happened, that's when I got into it, because it kind of caused like, oh, wow. So, yeah, and then he got me into it. Well, actually, you started because you had horrible blood work
from the doctors.
They said he was like so close to a heart attack. So I went home and I started looking up certain things, and that's first thing I read was coconut oil.
Okay, yeah.
So and then well, quick story. He had when I met him, very insecure. He like it took him like almost 2 years to take his shirt off when we went swimming.
I was like, that guy that swam in the pool
because
with
he
shirt
had
on.
Stretch marks
and sweatpants and sneakers.
Yeah. He had stretch marks super bad growing up. Mm-hmm. So and they always bothered him. So that was the reason why with the coconut oil, I'm thinking healthy mm-hmm. and it would get rid of that and it would help him, and it did. Mm-hmm. And then he just like went. I don't know, he was like Superman, with everything, so.
Now you're shirtless now, so we're good.
Yeah,
yeah well, yeah, I'm not wearing any clothes right now.
That cod piece is choice.
Yeah. He's got a Thor's hammer. Right? Yeah.
So no, that's not a Thor's hammer.
Yes, it is.
Surprise!
So actually made him get into, start just reading that stuff, and then he... That's when you found the Whole 30, right?
Yeah, yeah. So CrossFit led into the paleo lifestyle, sure, you know. Yeah. And that diet program allowed me to incorporate some black coffee. And then I had found through training mm-hmm. that black coffee was the best stimulant. That was the best pre-workout that I could have.
Yeah.
I've tried pre-workout. So as I got into this little fitness journey, things started to go real well. And I've tried... several brands, mm-hmm. but it seemed like once each. Muscle Pharma Salt was like the first one, and then C4. They were all out mm-hmm. there. But every time that I would try one, I was more conscious of my ears and nose are on fire. Yep. My heart is pounding out of my chest, or everything is tingling. And then when I get into a deep squat, something you had to push hard and pay attention to, I couldn't train.
Yeah.
There were times I'd show up at the gym and felt so overwhelmed with whatever the hell was in there. It was too much. I couldn't train, so I just leave because I feel like I'm gonna die if I get out of the car. I'm probably gonna die across the parking lot. So coffee started to become, that was it, and it was enough. And without it, you know, there were some days it was a little hard to work. Yeah, meh. Right? I was like, oh fuck, I need some coffee, but it always worked. Then, you know, there's a lot of clinical studies, and I'm certainly not going to sit here and read them verbatim, or I don't even memorize them, but all the antioxidants that are containing coffee, and there's a lot of potassium in there, and it seemed to keep me hydrated, less cramping, although the more water I drank, the worse things got. But anyway, there's a whole fitness stuff. So yeah, anyway, through all the sports I went, CrossFit turned into CrossFit turned into MMA, and then mm-hmm. MMA got too hard to recover from because I was too old. You can't start that crap when you're 37. Although we gave it a run, that turned into powerlifting and then, powerlifting turned into arm wrestling.
Right.
Arm wrestling has always been a sport that existed in my family.
Gone along with, if he was working out, wanted to work out with him, we would work out together. But I couldn't work out like him. And I didn't do MMA though, but I did do arm.
Oh yes, she did do MMA. Yeah, she did. It may not have been in a ring. There may not have been a referee there, but I was paying the price.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. She knows all about ground and pound and leg triangles. Yeah. I was hurting. I actually kind of like it.
I'm not touching this one.
I set that up there.
So
we Chanel and I both went on a fitness revolution. My impulsiveness and my addictive nature, I had to do everything to the extreme.
Yeah.
There's two things in my life that I was impulsive, didn't wait to question, and that was being a stepdad and being a husband. And those are the only things I haven't regretted. Everything else, other than coffee, put 100% into that. But other than that, I was into and out of things, always 100%.
And when I was unhealthy. With anything, because he was on to the next level.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I can't even run up the road yet.
Come on, baby.
I think a lot of us tend to be like that. I think a lot of there's a lot of lifters that tend to be like that. And I think that's why a lot of people get on, like, take supplements or, like, a huge amount of supplements or whatever they take. It's because a lot of us do have addictive personalities.
Yeah.
And a lot of us do have things that, like, and Jason and I have talked about this before in the last podcast. We're all damaged somehow. It's a house of damaged souls. And we really are. And I must talk about it probably every podcast. And, like, we're all damaged somehow, and we've all got something that we pay our taxes, we take care of our family, we do all these different things and all these different things, but for me, training grounds me. So, like, I can have all this shit in the periphery, but I've got that one thing that's stable. It's a grounding. And, you know, and you guys find that in your relationship. I mean, after 19 years, I mean, you guys have a grounding, and, like, you were, like, his HDLs were bad, so you were looking up research to try and find out how to bring it down. That's what a true relationship is, mm-hmm. and that's grounding. And the thing is training's that for a lot of us, because maybe we don't have a relationship, maybe we don't, maybe, you know, we've got other things going on, but mm-hmm. the one thing that, the two things that ground me are my son and training.
Yeah. Yep.
And then everything else, it's all right, but I always come back to that familiar thing. Do you feel the same way, Jay?
Oh, I agree. It's the only thing through all the years of doing this, it's the only thing that's remained constant, regardless of how I'm training, frequency of training, it's just always there. I can always go back to it.
Yeah.
You know, some days you don't want to go train, but...
And sometimes those are the best days to train.
Yeah, and then you just go, and that grounds me. Mm-hmm. So, just like you, and yeah. I think everyone else. So
I think we all have something that we're chasing, or we all have that either addictive personality, or we all have that personality. Like for me, I'm a lot of times I'm all or nothing, like yeah, you. Absolutely. And so like, you know, but the thing is, training has taught me that, okay, maybe I don't feel good and maybe my joints are hurting and maybe shit's really hurting, but I'm still going to go and do whatever I can. Like, right. you know, but, and I think that's, it teaches you lessons. Like Henry Rollins always says it's a great teacher. And I think that's, it does. And I think that's why, like, the more and more people that I do this podcast with and more people I meet, man, all of us are a lot alike. You know, it just, and you find like everybody's got their own story, but we all got that one thing in common.
Yeah.
And it's the same story over and over and over again.
As we evolve through this, I would say as we started to get into training, there's a lot of lessons that you can learn. And it isn't how to squat correctly or how to deadlift with a flat back, you know, or neutral spine and all that stuff. But it's how deep you sometimes have to go, or how much pain you have to tolerate to get through a movement, right?
Yeah.
So that's real basic in this description. Mm-hmm. And by no means did Chanel not train hard, and no, she has had these same lessons.
I do other things. I don't have to look for something to. I'm pretty strong-minded.
She has a very strong will.
I had no choice, too, so,
yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah, Chanel's upbringing.
I don't need that
taught her how to
something
grind.
To run to. And
you know, I can hear that. I'm starting to hear that New York accent now.
Oh, sorry.
I am. No, I love it.
Go back to your roots, baby. They're a good place to be.
So, I didn't mind not being as much as he was with it, because mm-hmm. I felt like, because I'm mentally strong, and I had to...
And I wasn't.
For him. And
I wasn't until I got my hands on a barbell.
It was more important for me to stand by his side with all the stuff that he did. And then if it did get out of control, I was, stop that. All right.
Yeah.
Fucking A, that's you a know? Good person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, because you have to keep him on a, knock him off his horse a little bit.
But it seems like, you know? Like, and it's cool because, like, and again, I talk about relationships, but, like, that's a great relationship. That's somebody that's seeing what another person needs and making sure they get it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's fucking, and I'm sure you do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, I want
that. We take care of each other.
We absolutely take care of each other.
Yeah, but that's, for the listeners and stuff like that, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come to this, to Iron Bean, because I heard this story. And if you look on their blog, like, you can see their blog, and I heard this story, a similar, not obviously not in the way you told it, but it's a labor of love. And you guys, I mean, I'm a big sissy, so like, you guys almost brought me to tears when you were talking about, like, when you were talking about, like, how you met her and like how you guys did this as a labor of love and stuff like that. I mean, it's, these are the companies that you want to spend money on and that you want to buy from and that you want to support, because I mean, everybody can go to fucking Walmart and buy something shitty, but when it's something that's like something like this, that's, it means something. And
yeah.
It's not just a buck, it means something.
Mm-hmm. That's what we wanted. We wanted people that were like the lost soul. Find family, great friends, and that's the most important part.
It's kind of like you were talking about, like you guys were into biking and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean, is that the kind of same feeling that you get when you were at the club? Like you were kind of like, you know, like you. It doesn't we're matter what you come in, you have a beer with some friends, they bust your balls.
No, it wasn't like that. Okay. The club, we were. It was more of actually, it all started because he went and did a. It's for abused and neglected children.
Yeah.
So it was kids that
being bikers for us. We had a history in our family. Right. I'm not going to interrupt Chanel. I was going to just put the premise of the story. Chanel tells stories, and this is not a knock. thinking that you know what I'm talking about already, so I'm just going to finish the story.
Like, I jump in, I'm like, oh, you guys weren't talking about
I'm just going to lay the base real quick. So both of us have had bikers in our lives at some point, so we were familiar with that, with what that meant. Then we went to an arm wrestling event. And go. Well, Chanel, go.
No, actually, he, it was, they wanted a bunch of arm wrestlers, you know, big guys, to stand next to these little kids. It was for like an advertisement to, you know, and he did a picture with, his shirt off. You had your shirt off. And there was like a little boy with his shirt off. It was like right a now. Twin. Yeah.
Just,
it was
like I had a, pants on that day.
It was, yeah. All of us no, were too. It wasn't like that. He had pants on.
Yeah, I don't have pants on now.
It was
I
a
had
mirror
pants on
image
with the kids.
Of a little boy looking at growing up to yeah. being a big, strong man. And the idea was to give the kids that were abused strength.
Strength.
So that's where we met this biker club, riding club, and I was like, babe, we gotta go buy a Harley. And he was like, what'd you say? I'm like, we gotta buy a Harley. Like,
I was not going to turn that down. Rarely do you get permission from your wife to go buy a Harley and to have it be her idea.
Right.
And so I immediately went to the Harley Davidson.
Because we wanted to work with
signed my name.
So.
I couldn't even afford it. They just said, thank you, Mr. Diedrich, and then I had to make payments. But I still wanted to do it.
It's funny. Your girlfriend goes, I want to get married. And you go, what? Your girlfriend goes, You want to buy a Harley? Yep.
Yeah, there was no one. I left. Matter of fact, I bought the Harley. She wasn't even there. I mean, I was out.
He sends me a picture. He's like, "How this Harley?" I'm like, "You're so mean." But we wanted to work with kids that were abused and neglected. So we thought that was like really awesome.
The club was Bikers Against Abused and Neglected Children. Yeah. And like Chanel said, we met through a marketer down there. There was an arm wrestler, pretty big deal arm wrestler. That was, oh my God, Mike Dawson was his name. I almost forgot his name. Mike Dawson's been a big part of our lives as well. So Mike Dawson and this marketer and bank, Bikers Against Abused and Neglected Children, they got together and put on this event. It was a charity event. It was a year out. Mm-hmm. And like Chanel said, what the biker club stood for was developing strength and a comfortability within children that have been abused or neglected. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got involved in the biker club. We were just there as arm wrestling
that's
personalities.
Great.
And then we really fell in love with the idea. We fell in love with most of the people. And there's a reason I'll say that.
No.
There's a whole storyline that branches off of that. But it was a really valuable experience.
Yeah.
And that's what we
decided to walk away from it. There were some issues
that
we didn't.
Yeah.
We wanted to stick with what we believe in. If our heart doesn't believe in something or stand by something, we're not involved. So if it's not the way that we went into it and all the way 110%, then we going to do our own thing.
Which means that we left bank.
Yeah, we left. But it was good.
It was for Iron Bean.
It was for Iron Bean, but we wanted to do our own thing because we wanted to reach out to more.
Yeah.
We wanted to, kids needed our help, we wanted to bullying cases for school. We wanted to go pick up those. I wanted to do a lot more. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, but when you're in a certain group, they do one thing. That's all they do. And we were like, yeah, but we got so much more that we want to do. That.
So what did we do?
We started our own.
We founded Iron Bean Riders Motorcycle Club.
Yep.
So you guys have a club now?
Yeah. I'll have to show you our patch.
That's fucking badass.
Yeah. It is a coffee shop and ice cream stop motorcycle club. We're not we don't go out drinking, we're not in bars, we're not starting fights, we're patting little kids on the head, giving them ice cream cones,
so we are
supporting whatever happens to feel good at the time, so long as good people doing good things.
Is there a website that you guys have for that, or is
ironbeanriders.org?
There you go. Go to that, guys, because again with this podcast, like, we've always wanted to do, like, we talk about supporting, like, the Special Olympics. We talk about, like, you know, Corey Allen and fighting cancer and stuff like that. I mean, that's what I wanted to do with this podcast. So support that, guys. If you guys can go to that, what's the website again?
Ironbeanriders.org.
Okay. So go to
Chanel's growling over here.
But support that, guys, because that's a fucking awesome thing. You know, you're giving kids self-esteem and coffee.
Well, we also donate to the fire department, the nurses. We go to the hospital. All right. Coffee. Yeah.
I'm a nurse.
EMS. And you're like, give me coffee. So, yeah, we do whatever. Like, it's kind of like we travel around and help and show appreciation.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
When we started Iron Bean, the first coffee that we marketed, and I hate to use these business terms because even today it doesn't really feel like a business and it's not business oriented. We started with four coffees. One was called Rage Against the Dying of the Light, mm-hmm. and then we had Integrity, and then we had Cast Iron and Ride or Die. Ride or Die was a coffee that we developed for bikers because we're drinking coffee all damn day.
Right.
It had to be something smooth, really low caffeine on that end that you could drink and not feel like crap at the end of the day and go to bed. So that was Ride or Die. And then we had Integrity, and that was our biggest, most important thing that we had to do. We had the landscape crew just showed up. Okay. So not our landscape crew. We do our own lawn. So we have very, very important core values. The first one was being transparent in how we do things, and the second one was integrity. And integrity to us means doing the right thing even when no one is looking. And that was the important part. And we had gone through a lot of different companies in our lives and friends and organizations and things that didn't have a lot of integrity. So that was important to us.
And our own lessons in life that we've, you know, you grow to know that that's important.
That's where we named it.
I wanted to share with you guys something. Hold on one second. My son Ben, I went to a train yesterday. Ben's mom was going to pick him up. So I'm training, and Ben said, "Hey, do you have the key to the house?" I said, "No, I don't have the key." He's like, "Well, Dad, I can't leave the house unlocked." And I'm like, "It's all right, Ben. Just leave it unlocked. When I show up, or I'll lock it when I get home. I got to go come home first or whatnot." So half hour later, Dad, I couldn't do it. He called me. He goes, "I couldn't leave the house unlocked. I just didn't feel right doing it." I'm like, "Fuck, you know." So I can't get a workout in, so I got to go home and stuff like that. And he comes up to me and he goes, "Dad, I'm so sorry. I know you wanted to work out, but, you know, I didn't feel right." I said, "I'm fucking proud of you." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "You stood up for something."
Yeah.
I said, "You didn't feel comfortable doing something. You stood up." So I sent him a thing last night. It said, this might be, it says, "Integrity is choosing courage over comfort, choosing what is right over what is fun, fast, or easy, and choosing to practice our values rather than simply professing them." And I sent that to my kid last night. Yep. So just telling him I was proud of him. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, but that's, I mean, fuck, guys, if you can't support something like this, I mean, you know, it's pretty cool what you guys are doing. You guys are demonstrating your values in your career. You're demonstrating your values in life. You're demonstrating your values in your business. I mean, what's not to like? Especially you guys like iron, too. So,
right.
So where did the name... So you have the owl, and the owl's name is Nori.
So Iron Bean came first, right? The name.
Yeah.
Name came from our description. The description hasn't changed from today till the time we put it on Facebook. So we said, "Hey, here's our idea," all of our friends. There was no Facebook page or anything. It was just all of our friends. "We want to open a gym. This is what it's going to be like. Our coffee shop and a gym. What should we call it?" And we had a ton of names in there. And then Chanel and I argued over what we were going to call it. And then Chanel said, "I like Iron Bean." And I said, "But I like these other 17. And then she said, "Well, I like Iron Bean." And I quickly realized that we were going to be called Iron Bean Coffee Company and stopped arguing. So it was really a community-based decision what we were going to call the company based on those ideas, Iron Bean. So we're like, "Yeah, that's cool." So we run with it. So Nori, the owl, getting back to why all the coffees exist, the next one was Rage Against the Dying of the Light. And our real-life everyday heroes are the people that are important to us. And that those were – when we really started with volunteer firemen, volunteer emergency services, volunteer nurses. Oh, my God, what's the term? You know, when something really bad happens and everybody shows up, and I'm talking about, like, the town floods. Yeah. Just response.
Disaster.
Yeah, first responders. So we wanted to support those people, the emergency room nurses. So those people were important to us. So, and that's where we created the first logo. So the logo that's on that mug that we talked about, and the logo that will hang in front of Iron Bean Roasters someday, that was really our original name. There's a corporate name. It's the Iron Bean Inc. And then Iron Bean Roasters was supposed to be the shop. So the shop has our Bean. We call him the Bean, our little skull, with cross barbells. What's behind him were barbells. But they've kind of faded out of existence. Yeah. They're... And it's on a kettlebell, and then it has these coffee cups on the EKG line. That was kind of encompassing all the things that we really started with. We wanted to celebrate people. We wanted to have a gym. We wanted to do all these things, and we mashed it together into that image.
Who created that? Who created that?
Chanel and I created that. And here's how the process works. And it's really funny, as a matter of fact, because that's where the story about Nori was going. So we'll talk about Nori first. This image came first. It all happened together. So we
already had a lot of ideas in our mind for years.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like really took us months to create something.
No.
Because they're just coming from things we've already thought about or forgot about, you know, and then it came back. So it was kind of simple, but we worked on it for days.
Like straight.
Morning till night, middle of the night.
Those days you forget to eat. So we have this creative process that we go through, and we still do this same exact process today. And here's what it looks like. I'll sit down in front of the computer, and I'll start to put together some images, and we'll draw some stuff. And Chanel sits not next to me, but right behind me in this massage chair. Now, the massage chair was like a... Baby, I'm sorry that we have moved all over the country so many damn times. I really feel like I got to do something special for you. Yeah, so the massage chair came with the, I promise this is our last move to Toledo. Uh-huh. So Chanel got this massage chair. So the massage chair sits behind the computer, which is now our office. So we sit in the office, Chanel sits in the massage chair, and I'll get deep into this picture creating or logo creating, and it's got to mean something, right? So we put together these images that are kind of symbolize whatever it is we were trying to symbolize. And then, sorry, we had to pause for a photo break there. So here's the end. I'll work really hard. And this is from my perspective. So I don't want this to sound like this is exactly the way it goes. But from my perspective, I'm focusing. I'm putting my ADD to the side. I'm learning those traits I learned from powerlifting, especially a strongman. I got to go deep. I got to focus right here. And I'm still breathing so I ain't dead. And I'm putting that kind of hard work into this image. And I'm creating this logo or this bag label. And I back away from the computer while it's on the screen. And I go, baby. What do you think? And she's in the massage chair, and the massage chair is going, bzz, psh, tsh, psh, bzz, and she's half asleep, and she'll open her eyes, and she goes, I don't like it. And then I go,
it gets really red.
And my feet get really hot, like that bad pre-workout drink that I had drank.
My feet are really hot right now. I'm like,
and my ears start to tingle and twitch. And then I slowly roll back into the desk. And immaturely delete everything that I had just done. Because, you know, that's the right response, you know, for a typical guy. And then she goes, well, what the fuck did you do that for? And I go, well, obviously you don't like it. And then marriage happens for a couple of about 20 minutes. And then I go, babe, what's wrong? You know, like everything's okay now, but I didn't realize that I was the asshole, and she was just trying to help me, you know, build something together. And then now she's mad because I'm pretending nothing happened, and and then I try to recover everything I did and make some adjustments. And then about 2 hours later, everything's pretty good again. And then she goes, you know, if you'd just listened to me before, we would probably be a little bit further ahead. But here, just take my idea and run with it. So all the images that you see, I made, but they were not my idea. No, that's not true. That's me being immature now. That's how the creative process goes. Okay. So then we end up coming together on this picture. So Nori went through that same exact phase. I drew, we had the name, Rage Against the Dying of the Light, which comes from this tattoo on my arm. Yeah. I have Rage Against the Dying of the Light tattoo on my arm, which came before the company. So, and this was a mantra that we had developed through this fitness revolution.
Okay.
So going through CrossFit and going through MMA and going through these wads in our yard where we're dragging kettlebells on ropes and flipping tires and swinging stuff. But there was always this one thing you'd come back to, and that was, I'm still breathing. I'm not dead. There's no reason for me to stop now.
I'm still breathing. I might have rhabdo, but
I never got the rhabdo. Apparently I didn't work hard enough, you know? So that, right? That's what they were trying to teach me. We didn't go to a box. We did everything based on YouTube videos, and we lived in the middle of nowhere, so we were just training in fields. But it was fun. But we believed in doing something more than just existing. Yeah. So we had this mantra, you know, rage against the dying of the light. We have to do things. And that was another catalyst to when we started doing this, or when we started to do Iron Bean. Instead of just living and existing and dreaming, you have to do something. Otherwise, you're not raging against the dying of the light. And that, what that symbolism is that you are going to live life to its fullest before the light goes away, before you die. There was another symbolic reason that we chose that, and we interpret it in several different ways. So raging against the dying of the light is to stand up and be strong for things that oppress innocence or oppress the pureness of life, the goodness. Yeah. So the dying of the life is, you know, all of the whatever bad thing you can think of, abuse or molestation or sexual predators or just somebody bullying somebody or keeping people down to make themselves feel better. That's the dying of the light. Yeah, those things. So we want to make sure, or we wanted to live this life where we were going to participate in activities or do things that are not, you know, not that. We're going to rage against the dying of the light. Do things that help the pureness of the world come through. And then the third interpretation is coffee. that's where the first bag of rage against the dying light came. It came from those two interpretations. Okay. So the third one was, you know, when you have that big workout coming up, or you have that long double, that shift where, I mean, I got to work 36 hours. You need to rage against the dying of light, because the dying of light is there. I'm going to crash and fall asleep here soon. But you just have to, grind. You have to participate in the journey to get to the end. So that's why we called this particular coffee Rage Against the Dying of the Light. So Nori didn't exist on the bag. We just had a name. This coffee has a little bit more than caffeine than usual. It's not crazy caffeinated. Mm-hmm. So then we said, well, you know, what are we going to put on the bag? So then we thought about those third shift nurses, the emergency room guys, the guys that are at the firehouse, because every fire happens at 2:30 in the morning, you know. Yeah, so it's like a night owl, you know. What's kind of symbolic with the owl, or with night, and that was the owl, the night owl. And then the owl is also symbolic of rejuvenation, regeneration, renewal, wisdom, integrity, you know, the stoic creature in the forest. So that was like the perfect fit. So our first renditions of the owl, and we called it the Rage Owl. She didn't have a name. We were just developing the Rage Owl. So the Rage Owl took on many forms, and then they all sucked. You know, I'm not necessarily a good artist, but we were steadfast in making sure this thing came through. So we found a YouTube video. It takes 7 minutes to draw a baby Kauai owl. Took us 3 or 4 days. So we had to repeat the video several times in a row. But anyway, that's where the image of Nori came from. This YouTube video, this owl was cute, didn't have a heart in its eye. The first rendition had, it was just this cute little owl. Yeah, I backed away from the computer.
Did the same thing. Show me. Yeah. No.
We went through the creative process. Chanel goes, no, no, no. And then she said, you know what? We should put a heart in the eye. That's that humanity. You know, make her real. Give her some sort of a soul or something. So I said, that's genius, because that's what we're trying to communicate here.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to.
So we put the heart in the eye. The heart in the eye shows up in just about everything that we do, because that's our little piece of humanity.
His reaction when I told him I wanted to put the heart in the skull too. He's like, "Come on, leave my skull alone."
It's in there.
Like, no. I was like,
"Yeah." Yeah, the skull didn't originally have a heart.
No.
Shit. I was really pissed, to be honest with you.
No,
because that biker, I wanted to be really tough and strong, and you were losing it. But then after I realized what it was that we were symbolizing, I said, that's probably the most appropriate thing that we can do.
So
that's where
all our stuff has the heart.
That's where Nori came from. Mm-hmm. And then as the bag showed up, and we actually got labels. I mean, we were making our first coffee in these little paper bags with a magic marker. Yeah, and they're, if you go scroll way back on Instagram, you'll see what the garage looked like, what our first bag of coffee that we sold looked like. it definitely didn't have that appeal, you know, feel good in your hand type of thing. But Nori started showing up, and people were really starting to identify with Nori. And then we had a tattoo. First tattoo showed up of Nori on Ethan's leg. So that's, I think it was right around that moment.
Wait, somebody put a tattoo on them of Nori?
There's a lot of Nori tattoos out there now. Yeah.
How does that make you feel? I mean, like the fact that your company has a really cool logo that you guys created that now people are putting on their body for life.
There is still, I'm not even sure how the gratitude that wells up, the surrealness, you're like, there's no way, you know, it's not real, but it is real. And every time you look at it, it's like, I remember Chanel texted me one day and she goes, can you believe we actually have a coffee company? And I was like, no, I actually don't. And then, hey, somebody put a fucking tattoo on their arm of Nori. And I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
It's a feeling of appreciation. It's overwhelming. Yeah, it's wicked. It is awesome that
excited. I'm always
like, Chanel's very level.
I'm very level. And
I don't know how to express it. Chanel thinks it's cool, and maybe because she's tired of seeing me get 400 tattoos all over my body. So, yeah, I'm covered in images that some of them are recovered.
I got a tattoo of Jason on my chest.
So no, I can't describe it. And then there's a part of me that doesn't.
I think I just want her to represent what we want her to represent. Yeah. You know, and I don't want anybody ever taking that away from her. So I think I get that more of that emotional part, like who put the owl on her.
Yeah, Chanel is very protective. Yeah.
I don't know why I feel that way. Like I'm protective of her. Because, you know, she's just
because it started off as a concept and now it exists.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess I get
it's real.
It has a life.
I think more logical, where he's just like, babe, guess what?
You're not going to believe this. And then part of me doesn't even like to talk about it because it's not something that we did.
Yeah.
It's something that the community that has surrounded this idea did. And it's the credit of everything that exists in this room and everything that exists on our Facebook page and social media. And even though that may seem superficial, it's so deep and real. There's so many people that have supported this idea.
Yeah.
For us and for each other, it's hard to talk about because I don't ever want to make it seem like it's something that we did.
Right.
We didn't do it.
It's just like even with our rider stuff, like when we get donations, just everybody's like, you guys are great. It's like, no, we're not. We didn't come.
We're just the courier, right?
Right. We're just bringing the stuff where it needs to go.
But did you ever think, like, and this is kind of true in a lot of things, any sort of movement starts with people, like starts with like an idea, and then that idea grows, and then people take it, and then these are these movements that happen. So a movement can happen in a revolution. A movement can happen, like, you know, just with your family. A movement can happen in a business, which is what this happened, and it just grows. And something I think that people latch onto is something with character and something with that means something. Yeah. And you guys took something. You guys took a coffee beanery. And you guys took coffee and you made something that means something, not just to you guys, but to other people. Yeah. So that's a fucking success, my friends. You know, no matter how you roll it, and no matter like if you guys get the biggest coffee company in the world or just, you know, or it's just one or two people. But the fact, like Dave Tate was telling me, if you impact one person, then you're a success, and you guys have impacted more than that. So, I mean, fucking kudos, you know? I mean, it is, man. And so you guys should be real fucking proud of what you guys are doing.
We are proud, but we want to give, I guess, the credit where it's, you know,
it's due. Yeah. You have to do that. You can't ever steal anybody's credit.
You can't lose that either. Because I think that's where people fail when they start getting it. They forget those things.
Right. We're proud for participating in the grind. We keep
on each other about that's remember where you came from, you know, who got you there and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You got to remember that stuff because it's real easy to go, you know, forget all that stuff.
Yeah, we don't ever want to be so big.
We learn those things just with lessons so far away.
We don't want to be far away from the people that brought us this far, and they brought the community this far.
Yeah.
So speaking of the community and speaking of like these coffee mugs that you guys make, you guys, how often do you release a new coffee mug? how often do you guys do it? I mean, what's the run number if people want to get it?
What, once a month?
It's, yeah. So, this is the point of contention for Chanel and I, if you can get the feeling right now. She's, she's throwing daggers at me on one side. We love the mugs. We love the handcraftedness of them. I love creating the medallions.
Yeah.
Chanel loves creating the medallions, but I like to see them with all a bunch of different colors. So there is no...
Medallions meaning the insignia?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This piece... Whoa, there's coffee in there. This piece that's on the front is referred to as a medallion.
Okay.
So, and that's the whole thing is the art, but the medallion is what differentiates the mug from somewhere else. And then the glaze and the color and the handcraft. I mean, there's a lot going on in that piece of clay. But there is no format for the mugs. Sometimes they're impulsive. Sometimes the run is big. And big for us would be 500. I mean, huge. And that's like a mountain of work that comes with it. Mm-hmm. There's a mountain of expense that comes with it. Mm-hmm. So they're usually 250, mm-hmm. usually. Yeah. We usually do, I don't know, I can't say usually. We used to do several colors of the same one. And there's a reason that we've changed. And I'll get to it. And it's kind of an appreciation for the customer. And we don't want to take advantage of the collector.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there are...
Fred gets excited. Mm-hmm. And like, where I'm more standoffish and I stay, I'm the calm one. Mm-hmm. He gets so creative and excited that everything has to come out today. And I'm like, babe, we got to wait for that one. You know? But he wanted to wait too, but it would just, like, he tells everyone our secrets too. I'm like, Fred, he puts the artwork out there and everything. He gets so excited. I cannot keep him out of there. So even our customers tell him, Fred, Chanel's going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You know?
They definitely differentiated our personalities and figured us out pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're except for the Craigslist ad. There is a so the mugs are very important to us. We don't want to take advantage of the collector, so we stopped doing four colors every time we'd come out with one mug, because there are some folks out there, and they're very much like me. I understand the perspective of a customer that has to have every item of a line or something like that. So they used to come out with like 100 mugs, but it was like 100 of each color. And then we would notice that, man, you know, one person keeps buying four mugs. And I'm like, that's not right for us to do that. So we have scaled back. It's hard for me to do it because I like to see them all.
You're
I'm
proud
impulsive.
Of seeing your stuff on.
Sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mugs are beautiful.
Sure.
So right now.
Like a dick pic.
It's about, that's exactly right. You want to see all the colors, all the sizes.
No.
How many dicks be in your hand?
Oh, a million. Be a nurse and you got dicks everywhere. Dick. Sorry.
At least 50% of your patients are all dicks.
Yeah, a lot of them. Everywhere.
That's a lot of vaginas too, though.
Anyway.
Oh my God.
Back to mugs. So there is no run. There is no plan, to be quite honest with you. There, whatever feels right at the time. Okay. If there are certain holidays that we want to celebrate. 4th of July is important to us. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. We want to do a Veterans Day mug that really, really touches the hearts and touches. Yeah, probably.
What's it look like?
But no, I'm not telling you what it looks like because Chanel is going to punch me right in the face. I'll tell you off air. Actually, here's what it is. No, I'm just kidding. I can't keep a secret. So there will be holiday releases, holidays that are important to us. Veterans Day is going to be a big one for us this year. 4th of July will be a big one. For the fan of Iron Bean Coffee Company, they'll be familiar with this, but the mugs also tell a story. We have these random
Nori
ones.
Nori has a story.
It's
Nori's not no longer single.
She's still single, well, but there's a romance brewing.
Got it.
With Dylan.
Got it.
So
Thomas.
Did you see him?
Dylan Thomas. Yeah. That's exactly right.
No, I will. No,
Dylan Thomas, author of Rage Against the Dying of Light, this poem that is so important to us that we've known since we were children and started to guide our lives, and it was this mantra.
The Christmas one.
Yep.
So chapter one is Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas was chapter one of
the
Nori Dylan love story.
Tree.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The Christmas mug depicts Nori ice skating. It's got a Christmas scene, some snowflakes falling, and there's this goofy looking owl with a big old Viking helmet on with his head poking out from down the tree. Like, whoa, check her out. So that's chapter one. Yeah. Dylan is finding this interest in Nori. Dylan has known about Nori for some time, and she was the muse for creating this Rage Against the Dying of the Light poem because Nori's so strong and so womanly and independent. You know, she's living that life. Yeah. Oh, he likes it. He's like, that's a good woman. So that's Dylan's background.
Like it.
Nori's the star of the show, and Dylan's coming around. So Valentine's Day, and this mug was a big deal to us, not because of the story and because of the mug. So like we said earlier, mugs aren't new. We didn't just say, hey, I think somebody out there should create a hand-thrown mug. They've been around for a long time, but we wanted to do them different. There isn't a whole lot of variability you can get in the mug other than the art. So Valentine's Day was a really big deal for us. We wanted to continue the story. It was going to be chapter two. You know, what can we do different? We want to make the mug special. We want to tell the story. But we didn't want to just put another mug out there. Not that they're just mugs. I mean, they're all special, but this one was particularly crazy. So I'm looking at the mug. It's up on the shelf. So we had never seen a set of mugs come out that wasn't that didn't have a differentiation in the set. So sets of mugs were usually like, yeah, I got a green one, I got a blue one, and a red one, but they're all the same. So this time, Chanel and I came up with a pretty wicked idea where we were going to have corresponding medallions. So there would be two medallions in the set, and that they'd had to finish each other. Wow. So Dylan, this is really goofy, but I'm a right-handed person, but through arm wrestling, I was really good with my left hand. And left hand, smashing bros with my left hand. So I have a thing for left-handers. I like watching them write. Yeah. I mean, that's really fun. I like left-handed. So we made Dylan a lefty. So we couldn't get just any pottery company to do a left-handed mug for us. So we found Sunset Hill Stoneware in Neenah, Wisconsin, just a few miles south of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we contacted them to do our mugs, and they were awesome. They treated us like we were the biggest customer that they had ever had. And when we started to talk about our ideas, they were like, oh my God, this is great. Yeah, we got to do this. We're going to.
Blue one right there, right?
Yeah.
So, right in the center up there, we have a blue.
You have to see this.
A blue Dylan mug. And Dylan's, you know, took on the image of Cupid in his picture. We have Nori on the red mug. Nori's the right-handed mug. And Dylan shooting his arrow, shooting the arrow across the bow. You know, the arrow's leaving one medallion, entering the other one. And Nori's reading her little card.
Her Valentine's Day card.
It's like junior high school.
I wanted to go to old school, like when you were a little kid wrote your Valentine's Day card.
When those romances you really felt, you know, like when you talk about the butterflies in your stomach, those were the days you're really feeling butterflies in your stomach, right?
Yes or no?
Yes. So she's holding the card. Yeah, yes or no.
That's how I ask girls out now.
Yes or no?
It gives them butterflies. They fall in love.
Yeah. They get creeped out and say, get the hell out of here.
Dude, you're weird. How old are you?
You're too short.
Chuck's not that short.
Chuck is that short.
All right.
So I'm gonna wrap this up right now. My question is if people want to know more about the company, if people want to get their mugs, if people want to get coffee, because this is ultimately a coffee company,
right?
Where should they go and how should they do it? What would be the website or how should they do it?
Follow us on our Instagram, Iron Bean Coffee Company.
Mm-hmm.
Our Twitter is the Iron Bean Inc. You just search, throw in the search bar, Iron Bean Coffee Company. You're going to find them everywhere. Website is www.ironbeancoffee.com. And that's where you can order world-class coffee for the working class.
Oh, my God. That's right.
All right. Is there anything that you want to add, Fred? Is there anything? Like, I mean, I could talk all day, but unfortunately, I got to go. Well, not unfortunately. I got to go pick up my boy.
Yeah, and I have to eat. My
I know we all
like
are.
Wicked.
And I need another tattoo at Jason today.
Getting hangry now. No.
So is there anything you want to add? Is there anything you want to add, Fred?
Just that whoever's listening out there, the entire community that has helped us and anybody that might be new to the company or new to the idea that is Iron Bean Coffee Company, we thank you and we welcome you. We have an open door coffee policy, open coffee relationships. We don't ask that you exclusively buy Iron Bean Coffee, but we ask that we just have a spot in the cabinet. Just give us a try once in a while.
No, only Iron Bean Coffee.
Open coffee.
Fuck the rest. Let's do this.
Okay, what he said.
Chanel, do you have anything to add?
No, he's good. We'll let you go home.
Jason, what'd you say again?
What? Only Iron Bean Coffee. Yep. Fuck the rest.
Absolutely. That should be the new motto. They put that on a mug. Fuck the rest.
We're going to try that on Instagram. Right?
Yeah. Well, Fred and Chanel, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you inviting me into your home and letting Strength Depositions come into your house. I mean, it's an amazing, cool. It's an amazing place. I mean, it's absolutely like it's mind boggling what two people that have a love for something and wanted to create something did and have something good. And Jason, thanks for co-hosting with me. I appreciate it. And thanks for driving out.
I mean, of course, I get to see you beautiful people.
Chuck is beautiful.
I mean, Mike's not here. I'm kind of offended and hurt and all that shit. But
you
whatever.
Should text Mike and let him know.
Give me his number.
You'll text him right now. I definitely will. Yeah. I definitely will. So for Fred and Chanel and Jason and everybody at Strength Depositions, thanks for listening and check out Iron Bean. They're a great company with great people and that matters. So thanks for listening, everybody, and see ya. I've been training with weights for 30 plus years. It used to be you would just pick up a bar and you would go, and then that would be it. You'd be in pain the rest of the day, next couple days, and then you'd tear yourself up again. The biggest change in my training has been going to Tri-Cover Massage and Fitness. They specialize in dealing with the recovery of athletes and with injuries, or a combination of both. They have people that work with massage therapy, myofascial release, fitness, flexibility, you name it, they got it. They've enhanced the longevity of my training. When I started going, I could barely squat after doing it for so many years because of my hips. Now my hips are loosened up. They've given me different type of modalities to actually work and try and make my body better. And I don't think I've ever moved better than I have. And I owe that all to going to Tri-Covery. If you're a strong man, if you're into Ironman, if you're into CrossFit, running, it doesn't matter. These guys help you get the most out of your training, and I swear you will end up like you will feel a lot better after you get done. Tri-Covery is located in Novi, Birmingham, and Brighton. To get in contact with them, visit tri-covery, that's tri-covery.com, to learn more or schedule an appointment. They have 8 highly trained performance recovery therapists. Please, they fix bodies. They do a great job. The people there are awesome. Jeff Kong is the owner, and you couldn't ask for a better guy. I want to give a special thank and call out to Becky. Becky, you've helped put me together, and I can't thank you enough. Give them a call at 248-773-8242. That's 248-773-8242.